Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. He has provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
You know, last week we had a message concerning the commitment that we make to the Lord and His call for our lives. And as I was preparing that message, I thought about how Satan places various barriers in our lives to prevent us from making a total commitment to the Lord as we should. And this morning we shall talk about removing those barriers. And our text this morning comes from Joshua, the 5th chapter, verse 13, through the 6th chapter, verse 20. Again, it's familiar text that I'm sure you've heard more than once, but I want you to listen as I read Joshua 5:13 through 6:20. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down on the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout, then the walls of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the people, "Advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priest, who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the people, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her host shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into the treasury. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. May God add his blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the studying of his word. You know, at this period of time covered by a text, the children of Israel had moved from the wilderness of worry to the promised land of peace. From the wilderness of wandering to the promised land of progress. From the wilderness of despondency to the promised land of delight. From defeat to victory. The victorious Christian life of rising above adversity and gaining new ground. You know, and the first city which the Israelites encountered after they crossed Jordan was Jericho. It was considered to be the greatest fortified and walled city and fortress of all time. Jericho was a military citadel unparalleled in those days. Its walls were so thick that chariots could ride atop them with no problem at all. And from a human perspective, the city was unconquerable. And I believe each of us has a walled city, a Jericho in our lives. It's a place of hopelessness. It's a place of defeat. It's a place we do not believe can be conquered. It's a barrier to total commitment to God as we travel through life. So I ask you, what is your Jericho? I bet this, whatever it is, it shouts to you in defiance. It seems to say, if not for me, you would have it made. All of your dreams stopped cold when you encountered me. God's perfect will could have been completed and reached by you were it not for me. The ambitions of your heart might have been realized, yet you could not conquer me. Maybe the Jericho in your life is a reoccurring sin which haunts you. The devil uses it against you again and again and again. Why? Because it is so effective. If Satan finds a sin that you cannot resist, why should he try more than that sin? As long as you give in to it. Maybe your Jericho is an unhealthy attitude. Maybe you were wrongfully wronged or genuinely wronged by someone, and your heart has bitterness towards them, and all this bitterness is eating at you from the inside, and you cannot let go of such a grudge. Maybe your Jericho is an unhappy marriage. Maybe it's guilt over past sins. Maybe it's a lack of education, a lack of motivation, a lack of confidence, a lack of money, or financial failure. And the devil desires to erect a fortress around your personal success so that you cannot reach it. He builds a Jericho around that peacefulness that you seek in your life. Do not allow Satan to keep you from experiencing the abundant Christian life. Do not permit him to keep you home from Sunday school and worship service, to keep you home from Bible study during the week, to keep you from practicing discipleship, to keep you from tithing, to keep you to ministering to others in the name of the Lord, and to keep you from remaining faithful to God. When we come to add Jericho, we have only two choices. One is to face it, and the other is to flee. And where are we to flee but into the wilderness? Back from whence we came, back where we wandered 40 years, back where we were hopeless and despondent and depressed. We should never choose that as an option. We should face our Jericho. We must face it on God's terms, because we cannot conquer it without God's help. In Hebrews 11:30, we read, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days." Victory came to the Israelites because of their faith, and only by their faith. You know, in the first portion of our text, Joshua is on a reconnaissance mission, and he's looking up at the walls of Jericho when he sees a man come out of nowhere. And this man tells him he is the commander of the army of the Lord. And then the Lord gives Joshua the instructions on how to bring down the walls of Jericho. And from this, we should learn a valuable lesson. From Joshua's experience, we should learn that we should stop attempting to get God on our side. We should get on God's side. We should take off our swords and lay them at the feet of the Lord. And when we do so, our Jericho is no longer our problem. It's God's problem, which is no problem. It presents no problem for God like it does for us. When we realize we cannot obtain victory over that stubborn sin in our lives, then we are in a great position to give it to the Lord and observe the victory that comes through Jesus. Observe those walls of Jericho falling flat upon the ground. When we've tried everything in our business or everything in our marriage and nothing is working, we must learn to turn the problem over to God. It's victory through surrender. Not surrender to our enemy Satan, but surrender to God. He will solve the problem. Are we drowning in debt? Many people are today. Are we clueless in child rearing? Are we hopeless at work? Are we restless because of the worry that is upon us? Well, then let go and let God solve the problem. That's all He asks us to do. Let Him knock down the walls of our Jericho. Before we can become conquerors, we must first be conquered ourselves. Think of that. Before we can become conquerors, we must be conquered ourselves. And all that we are and all that we have must stand attention at the captain, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we must lay our worldly weapons down at His feet and, like little David, throw off that big clumsy suit of human wisdom, that armor of human wisdom, and pick up the shield of faith, and we shall be victorious. We'll see the giant fall. We'll see the walls of our Jerichos come tumbling down. You know, Joshua was viewing the problem, the insurmountable walls of Jericho, and then all of a sudden God is there with him, and he sees the face of God. Looking at the wall, all he saw was fear, and looking at God led him to the faith he needed. But remember, faith is only as good as its object. Faith is only as good as its object. We can have faith in ourselves, but if we can't do the job, All the faith in ourselves is useless. Our faith must be placed in one who can do what we need done in our lives, and one whom we know has been faithful from the beginning of time. And that's the Lord Jesus. That's God. No doubt some of us are still waiting for the walls of our Jericho to fall. Yet God will not permit them to fall because He is waiting for us to say, Lord, these walls are insurmountable for me. I cannot do it, but they are not too big for you. They're not too wide. They're not too tall for you. And I need your help in bringing them down. Friends, the Christian faith is not just hard, it's almost impossible. We certainly know we cannot live perfect lives, so stop trying to do that. Stop relying on your own resources and start trusting in the Lord. Allow God to give you an attitude adjustment. Allow Him to put you in a prime position to see those walls of your Jericho come tumbling down. You know, in our text, I can imagine Joshua's state of mind as God issues those strange instructions to him for tumbling down the walls. From a military standpoint, these instructions make no sense whatsoever. And I can hear Joshua saying, Lord, what about maybe a battering ram, or what about a catapult? How about a few ladders, Lord? And God says, no. Just walk around the walls of the city. And when I tell you to, you shout. God was testing the obedience of the Israelites. You know, it's easier for us to say we have faith than to demonstrate our faith. And as long as we aren't put to the test, we can testify all day. Oh yes, I have faith in the Lord. The Lord will provide. The Lord will do this. But until we put it on the line and demonstrate that we have that kind of faith, we don't necessarily set the example that God wants us to set. We must demonstrate faith through obeying God, whether His instructions make sense or not. Much of what the Bible teaches us is contrary to human logic and understanding. You think about it, the Bible tells us if you're in financial trouble and in debt, you can spend your way out of debt by following the scriptural principles for good stewardship with what God gives you. In other words, add another bill to your budget and everything will be all right. This sounds crazy, but it works. It works because God says it will work. It's our job to be obedient to God. We don't have to understand His commands in order to trust Him. In fact, we'll never understand everything that God tells us. The Bible really is not a book to be explained as much as it is a book to be obeyed. So here we have these people of Jericho, seasoned warriors, the most fortified city known to mankind, and how they must have laughed at the Israelites as they look down those walls, and here are these people with no weapons, with priests blowing trumpets, and carrying this ark around the city. The insults they must have hurled down at the Israelites. Can you imagine the things that they said? But the Israelites, although they may have felt like fools, they followed God's command and did nothing and said nothing. But 6 days a week, they marched once around the city. And then they were told on the seventh day to march again. But march around seven times. Well, they march around a couple of times at first and nothing happens. The Israelites are told, you got to keep on marching as if they aren't trying hard enough. Joshua's saying, we got to go around again. And I'm sure their patience was tested. But we must remember, as they were reminded, that waiting time is not wasting time. God didn't look into my Palm Pilot. God doesn't look into our directory and our calendar and our schedule. He doesn't care about our schedule. We have to operate on His schedule. God's delays are not necessarily denials. He does it in His own time. We need to wait upon Him and adjust our schedule. And I'm sure the Israelites are glad they did not give up, because on the seventh time when they marched around and the trumpets blew and Joshua said, shout, they shouted, and the walls fell flat. This has been confirmed by archaeological digs that the walls of Jericho did fall down, that they were found flattened in the archaeological digs. Some of you have circled your Jericho many times, yet the walls did not fall. And you were about to quit, but you heard God say one more time, and you circled one more time, and God stepped in, and the walls came tumbling down. Naaman the leper was told if he dipped in the Jordan seven times, his leprosy would be cured. And I can imagine every time he came out of that water, he looked to see if his leprosy had gotten progressively better, and it had not. But he didn't quit, and on the seventh time, he came out clean, cleansed, and healed. Abraham Lincoln was not a quitter. He lost 9 elections, lost his fiancée, had a nervous breakdown, and took bankruptcy twice before he was elected president of the United States. I want to read you a poem, and I think you can guess the moral at the end. But just listen as I read. 2 frogs fell in a deep cream bowl. One was an optimistic soul. The other took a gloomy view. We'll drown, he said, with much ado. And with a last disparaging cry, stopped kicking his legs and said goodbye. The other frog said with a grin, I can't get out, but I shan't give in. I'll swim until my strength is spent, and then I shall die the more content. Bravely he swam to work his scheme, and his struggle began to churn the cream. The more he swam, with his legs aflutter, the more the cream turned into butter. On top of the butter, at last he stopped, and out of the bowl he happily hopped. What is the moral? It's easily found. If you can't hop out, keep swimming around. Isn't that what so many of us don't do? If we can't hop out, we tend to give up. But I think there are 3 lessons to be learned from our message today. One is, take your eyes off of Jericho and focus them on God. Whatever the problem is in your life, turn it over to God. No matter how insurmountable it seems, and life can kick you hard and knock you down and try to hold you down. Don't look at what knocked you down. Look at God. Turn it over to Him. 2, obey God even when it doesn't make sense to do so. Think about if Joshua had said, Lord, I appreciate you helping us, but that doesn't make any sense. We're going to try to get some weapons, and we're going to storm this city, and we'll take it like that. But thanks anyway. Obey God, even if it doesn't make sense. And 3, do not quit. You've got to have faith. You've got to be like the frog. You've got to keep swimming. And then you should be able to hop out. The Lord will lead you to victory. And if we follow these 3 points, we'll tear down those barriers that Satan puts in front of us. We'll tear down our walls of our Jericho, and then we shall be totally free to commit our lives to God. We shall be prepared to answer His call for us when He issues it to us. And if the Holy Spirit is touching your heart today, and you have not answered the call to commit yourself to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what better day than today?